Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's been an all-time start to the season for Derek Carr and the Saints. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. 443 passing yards, Perloff, 5 touchdowns, just 1 interception. There's no doubt that after 2 weeks of the NFL season, Derek Carr and the Saints are the story. Now, the question is, can they keep it up?
Yeah, I mean,
the schedule is okay. They host Philly. They got Atlanta and then to the Chiefs. The Chiefs are a hard one. I think the real question is, how good is this division? I mean, are you going to have really hard games against Tampa Bay and Atlanta? I feel like the Saints are good enough. They beat up on the Bucs at the end of last year. I feel like they're good enough to at least split with all those teams. I think we're talking playoffs. 2-0, if everybody stays healthy. The other thing that's ironic, everybody hated Dennis Allen.
Yeah.
But he's a good defensive coach, or at least he seems to be a competent defensive coach. Now that you have a good OC, feels like they've solved that coaching issue.
Well, he was the odds-on favorite to be the first coach fired, and that's how down people were on him. And they made this big switch their offensive coordinator, not to get too in the weeds here, but it was this guy named Pete Carmichael, who you remember by was very famous because he was with Drew Brees and was with the organization for a long time. I think he was there for like a total of 15 years or something, and they moved on from him and brought in Clint Kubiak, Gary Kubiak's son, who's essentially running the Kyle Shanahan offense. And when you have a competent quarterback who you can pair with a dynamic and explosive running back like Alvin Kamara, who is kind of like McCaffrey in the sense that he can run and he can catch passes, like he's got it all. We just hadn't seen it in a few years.
Oh, absolutely. I think an interesting thing, too, about the way they built this team, I thought they have to have one of the cheapest receiver rooms in the NFL. And you look at all the guys who cash in this offseason. Basically, I mean, what are they? Brandon Ayuk can't catch anymore. Like, generally, they are an electric offense who isn't really paying anybody. Like, there's no 50. Derek Carr's not making $50 million. Kamara is pretty highly paid for a running back. But it's funny to me that they don't have these names and they don't have these weapons. And yet, they're going to play indoors. I think they're going to put up big numbers all year long.
Yeah. Well, Chris Olave, well, definitely a star in college for sure.
Right, but he's on his rookie deal. But
so here's my thing about this. I love the story. And anytime what you have this kind of combination with a great fan base, one who deserves to watch winning football because of how loyal they've been to a team that at one point was called the Aints and all of the history and had the high times with Breeze and Sean Payton. And then, like, to have this fan base have something good to root for and not have your team be irrelevant, I'm always for that. Now, I say that to also say this. I think of all the 2-0 teams that we're seeing now, I think this is the one I'm most dubious of. And the reason why is because these numbers are insane. Are you going to be able to keep up? Now, you said the schedule is not hard and they are playing indoors, but it's also Derek Carr. And he's gotten off to hot starts before, and quite frankly, it just hasn't amounted to a whole lot. Now, I tried to do a little more research on what had possibly changed for Derek Carr this offseason, beyond just Clint Kubiak and the new offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Perloff, now he's doing some kind of visualization technique that Drew Brees taught him, that he goes through every single play or something like that, and he says that's responsible for the quick start. Do you believe that?
I mean, isn't he in his ninth year or something? Or
like
he's never done. They all see sports psychology. He's never done visualization.
Apparently, this is the thing. I read it in NOLA.com. It's got to be true.
I heard Mark Schlereth say something a little different. He said that Clint Kubiak runs the exact same offense that John Gruden ran. And that, which I don't understand, because John Gruden comes from Green Bay and the West Coast offense. But basically saying this is Derek Carr's offense. So maybe that's a possibility along with the visualization. But by the way, like, Derek Carr has got gaudy numbers throughout his career. I mean, he's a four-time Pro Bowler. Like, when he gets hot, he could get really hot. But you say, like, he cools off. He goes up and down.
Well, that's the thing. The consistency is not there, you know? And talk to any Raider fan, because you've been, like, sort of tempted, lured. You know, you've been pulled in so many times, and then just for Derek Carr to throw, like, a bad pick or make a really bad decision.
See, I don't... When I think of the Raiders and Derek Carr, it wasn't always Derek Carr. There was a lot of negative things going on around him.
That's true.
It was always like, well, Derek Carr, but you didn't point to the quarterback as laying the team down. The team led everybody down, and injuries. You thought it was Derek Carr was the Raiders' problem?
No, the Raiders have a lot of problems, but I think people got very frustrated with Derek Carr. I do.
Really? I feel like when you draft Gerrion Conley and all these guys, when you make five first-round picks in a row who barely make the
Henry
team.
Henry Ruggs is sitting in a jail cell. Right.
I mean, everybody, I feel like Derek Carr was not the problem. And maybe I'm misremembering it. There were so many other problems. I mean, who did Derek Carr play around? Nobody. He had 1 year with Davante Adams, but that's it.
And Devontae specifically going there for Derek Carr, and then that thing just sort of totally fizzling out.
But look who the coach was. I mean, this is there's so much going on with the Raiders. And also, Derek Carr was really, really good at the end of last season.
So you think he can keep it up?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think he can keep it up. Because at the end of last year, he had, I think his last four games, he had over 100 rating. When he's healthy, he was not healthy last year in New Orleans. I think he had two different injuries.
Yeah.
I said it coming this year. He is, when he's good, he's good.
And right now it looks very, very good. And again, playing your Eagles next week, well, now this looks a little bit different, because I'm very curious of how Philadelphia is going to rebound from this loss on Monday night. That was a gut punch. I know, you were talking about it yesterday, the whole show, basically. And Saquon Barkley, that drop, how does he respond from that? And how does the whole team respond to what, quite frankly, was a lot of coaching mismanagement, not just on the drive that got all the attention with the 3rd and 3, but... you know, the defense being bad and not tackling and all of it. I mean, is Philadelphia even going to show up to this game? I think is a really good question.
Yes. I think they're desperate for a win after what happened. So I think when they're desperate, Jalen Hurts runs. He sells out on the run, puts his body at his health to the side. So that's why I was going to make New Orleans my pick of the week, but I'm worried about Hurts putting this, you know, because if Hurts wants to run, he's unstoppable.
Yep.
But he just, like all quarterbacks, protects himself. It would be so funny if they go 1-3 and they fire him their week 4 bye. I think Saquon Barkley's going to sit there all year. Like, everyone's going to say, you got this, coach, fired. And it's be Saquon Barkley. Like,
a lot of people got him fired.
Yeah, I think he will wear this.
I think Saquon will wear it, but I mean, the fact that the head coach, Nick Sirianni, doesn't have a good relationship with the quarterback, that's also something. The fact that they rotated out all these coordinators year after year after year, that's something. It's a lot of things.
I don't think it will be remembered. I think it'll be, this is Saquon's drop, got Nick Sirianni. Because if he's 2-0, he's safe the entire season. There's no doubt in my mind.
I don't know. The question about Derek Carr, can he keep this up at 855-212-4227? When I said I thought the Saints being 2-0 was a little bit of fool's gold, literally a caller, Chris in Birmingham, called in to say, thank you, Maggie, for doubting my Saints. This is exactly where they want to be. They don't want everyone heaping the attention. They want to be the team that nobody saw coming. That's going to be hard if you're... continue to score 40 points a game.
Well, it's pretty easy to win the NFC South.
Or not. Yeah. Maybe not. Maybe, the Bucs might be good, and well, let's see what happens with the Falcons.
The Bucs, as you pointed out many times, have some tough games. They got this first-place schedule, so we'll see how that all works out.
But one of them was going to Detroit, and they won that game.
Yeah, this is going to be really fun. So they all get two wins over the Panthers. And who knows now that Andy Dalton's there. This is, you're right, it's going to be a battle royale for this division. And the other divisions have all cleared out for the most part. I mean, Seattle's 2-0. They do not scare me at all. They needed overtime to beat the Patriots. So there's going to be an extra wild card spot here. You're right. I think we get two playoff teams.
That would be wild. Not something could have seen going into the season. Two playoff teams from the NFC South. Okay, on Wednesdays, we do something called the Great Debate. And today, we're asking the question, who is the funniest athlete of all time? And can I just say that I'm like breathing a bit of a sigh of relief? Because I have lost like 10 of these in a row. Finally, I'm winning in one of the polls.
No.
Bob Uecker.
No way.
My selection at 53% is just, I'm trouncing you guys.
He's smoking the field here?
Well,
more than Barkley?
Charles Barkley? 31%. Peyton Manning, 14%. Michael Irvin, 2%. Nico, I'm sorry, your selection of Eli Manning couldn't make it on the poll. There's only four slots.
I should have went with Tim Tebow again to see if Perlaw's theory was right.
Tebow.
Only one Manning can make the cut this time.
And Andrew Kaplan's pick of A-Rod being unintentionally funny.
All right.
Also a good one.
I'm going to need to act here.
Don't do it. Don't get your Philly army on this.
Philly army?
Oh, you know what's going to happen. It's going to be like, so unless you're an idiot, don't you think Charles Barkley's the funniest athlete of all time?
Oh, you're going to get so mad about how I word my polls.
Oh, my God. The way you word polls, man, they need to get you at Rasmussen or Quinnipiac.
Yeah. If Perloff was running the presidential polls, we'd have no idea who was in the lead, even less than we do now.
Honestly, any difference between
that and normal polls? You might be.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm surprised. I would. Let's check back on this end of the show. Charles is going to win this. We have 24 hours. He will win this bowl.
I don't know. I got a lot of Euchre stands on my... No, I'm not doing a bets right now. I got a Waffle House thing hanging over my head like an anvil. I got to chill on the bets.
Double or nothing.
Nico, the last time I did that, I ended up eating way too much tuna jelly.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, all right, you can go and vote at Maggie and Pearl. Okay.
Look at Nico stirring it up there. Double or nothing, Maggie. Why not?
I haven't thought of it. But no, I can't do that.
I'll give you Nico can help you eat waffles because Nico weighs about 111 pounds. I don't know how many. Are you a big eater, Nico?
Not really.
Yeah, it shows.
You can bring Nico with you.
Nico, you're good for what?
You'll have half a waffle.
Maybe two.
Nico's only request for this show was I need to turn up the temperature in here because he's like, I'm small and small. We get colder when we're this skinny.
I know. You're skin and bones, man.
I was like, no problem. I can turn it up. No big deal.
You know the weird part about the Waffle House bet? I'm fascinated. Are you going to be able to resist the delicious sides of Waffle House? Like, you're not going to put sausage on there?
Yeah, it's not even going to be in my field
of
view.
You know when you put the syrup on the waffles and some of it goes into the bacon and the sausage? You got to try it.
I'm not here for fun, Pearl. I'm like, it's a bet I lost.
You get to eat waffles.
But so many of them that it turns from something good to something bad, you know? It's like only eating candy or, you know, back in the day you get caught smoking, you got to smoke the whole pack. You know, it's like that.
I don't know. I've never...
Smoking on that Waffle House pack. That's what it's going to be.
I think it's... I mean, I'm more
right?
of a pancake guy myself. Yeah. Like, I don't think there's any downside for eating pancakes.
But I have to eat 24, and for every hour I'm in there, one comes off the toast. So I'm eating like 12 waffles minimum. It's a lot, dude.
Really? I don't know.
And I got to sit there for 12 hours.
I think if it was... Waffles have these sharp edges... Pancakes would be a lot easier, wouldn't it?
I think pancakes make you fuller faster, though. They're denser.
I don't think there's a massive
waffle
difference.
Can be kind of lighter.
I think it's the same kind of batter.
I'm praying.
A waffle can be lighter, huh? Good luck on that one.
A little airier. Sometimes pancakes have like ricotta cheese in them. Like it depends what kind of pancake you make.
Wait, what?
Andrea makes them with bananas.
If you put ricotta cheese in a pancake, get out of my house forever. You might put blueberries in there. Ricotta cheese?
Wait,
it's a pancake.
Hold on. Ricotta pancakes. Am I like crazy?
That sounds a little weird.
Can I call time out?
Yeah.
Ricotta cheese.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Nico. That probably did offend you.
You're like, sometimes you put ricotta cheese. I'm not saying ricotta. I we sound too
How do you
stupid.
Say mozzarella?
Mozzarella.
How do you say prosciutto?
Prosciutto.
Yeah, lemon ricotta pancakes, Perloff. I mean, educate yourself.
Yeah. No, I go to IHOP and give me a lemon ricotta pancake. They'd be like, get out of this building.
Maybe I can do that and get myself kicked out of a Waffle House.
Yeah, do they have lemon ricotta waffles? That is literally the bougiest thing you've ever said on this show.
You said ricotta. In my head, I was thinking mascarpone because people will put mascarpone on like savory, like waffles or pancakes or something like that.
That sounds
like,
good.
Ricotta, I'm like, I do like
I do like a good ricotta. A little honey drizzle on there.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. It's 3/4 of a cup of ricotta cheese. I'm also not saying ricotta because I'm going to sound like a poser.
Do you understand that many people order pancakes around the country and they usually get bananas, maybe blueberries? Ricotta cheese is not a standard pancake ingredient.
I'm telling you guys, get out a little more.
There ain't going to be any ricotta cheese in your waffles, Maggie. 12 of them. I mean, the funny part about this bet, too, is the math. Like, you're going to have to sit there with a calculator and determine the best course of action. Are you allowed to throw up?
Well, I mean, all these things are negotiable. But what I expect not just like a piece of paper. It's like when someone's in jail and they have like keep like a one line on the wall for every day they're like in the slammer. I'm going to have one line on the side of the Waffle House for every waffle I eat. Like, you know, 4 and then a slash through it. Next 4, slash through it. Like I'm on a desert island or something.
Is this like Survivor?
Yeah. Yes. Is it not?
I mean, I guess.
I'm expecting Jeff Probst to be there at the end with a necklace or something. 855-212-4227. The question, can Derek Carr keep this up? Second question, who is the funniest athlete of all time? It's Maggie and Perloff. We're back in a minute. All right, Pearl, I have no idea who you did for Prize Picks last night.
His name is Bobby Witt Jr.
Oh, wow, look at you. That's a good one. Well, Perloff and I are obsessed with Prize Picks, and so will you. Just give it a try. It's the best place to bet real money sports action while watching football or any sport. Season-long fantasy just takes way too much time. So Prize Picks, you pick a new lineup every day. The app is super simple to use. You pick two or more players across any sport and then just more or less on the projection, and you could win up to 100 times your money.
Yeah, Bobby Witt Jr. needed 9.5 fantasy points last night, ended up with 13, including a notable stolen base. On Prize Picks, you could still cash out even if the lineup isn't perfect and all withdrawals are fast, safe, and secure. Not only that, Prize Picks is the only daily fantasy app with injury insurance. If one of your players goes down in the first half, Prize Picks doesn't count it as a loss. Some of the ways that Prize Picks puts its members first.
All right, all you got to do, so simple. Download the Prize Picks app today, use the code M&P, Maggie and Perloff, and get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. That's code M&P on Prize Picks to get $50 credit instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It is guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Nico is on the ones and twos going with an 80s theme. Maggie apparently likes 80s music, but has no room in her life for Journey.
I don't know how you guys like that song.
Yeah, because it's a classic. It's an all-timer.
I think Sopranos may have ruined it. They didn't ruin a lot, but...
Stop Believing was a huge song before The Sopranos.
I know, but it got this second life where it started to play, and it wasn't playing in every bar.
It was a common stadium theme, I would say. You know,
yeah, that doesn't help either, because I got to listen to all this stuff at sporting events, and it's the one song from the 80s that really annoys me.
She's not wrong that it became like the official closing song of a bar, last song at wedding.
No. What's that song that they always end as closing time? That's the official closing song, right? They always play it. I haven't been in a bar and closing in a long time.
I haven't seen closing of a bar in a while either, but I don't know. I don't want to know if they're playing Journey. I will wish I had left many rounds before.
What are the other Journey? Are there other Journey songs? I remember "Oh Sherry" by Steve Perry solo. But Journey played at a Super Bowl. I was at a Super Bowl and Journey was outside the stadium with the non-Steve Perry singer. That is not a big fan of 80s super bands that have a new singer because the other guy's gone.
Yeah, I know.
It's like some rando.
It can be kind of tragic. Yeah. But it's hard when someone gets replaced. Like, when bands break up. I also think it's kind of sad sometimes when you see bands who everyone's kind of looks a little worse for wear, you know? It's like, oh, you're still out
here.
Well,
that's like, I mean,
REO Speedwagon, something like that.
Yeah, that's the only way bands can make money, right?
I know, touring. Why do you think the Rolling Stones are still out there?
But they don't need money. Why? Just because Mick Jagger's got to perform. Yeah, that's a great question. Like, why are they out there? Actually, do you have an answer?
I think they need money.
No.
Nobody at 80 years old wants to be out there in skinny pants being like, do.
They do not. There's no way. If the Rolling Stones need money, then there's no musician who's out. I mean,
you know,
they
people go broke, right? I don't think they're all broke. I'm not saying that, but I think they have expensive lifestyles. How many ex-wives does Mick Jagger have? How many kids does he have?
Their songs are in every commercial. They get so many millions.
Do they even own the rights to
their
music?
I think they do own their songs. Okay. When Microsoft bought Start Me Up, I thought they like got $1 million every time it ran. I think Mick Jagger needs to be in the limelight. I think you get addicted to the spotlight.
I mean, they came up at a time when the music industry was not favorable to artists. I don't know how much money they make from their songs.
I bet you Mick Jagger's close to a billionaire. I'm not sure, but I think you're reading that band wrong.
Okay, but also I think sometimes they'll do it for the other guys in the band, the people they tour with. You know how like Charles Barkley doesn't need to be on TV anymore. He says he does it for the staff. What?
This says that Mick is worth $6.5 billion.
Yeah, no. Mick Jagger is a corporation.
Well, how do you think he got that rich? It's not from turning gigs down.
Well, they royalties, but also I think he has some other interests too. Yeah. I mean, Rolling Stones. I mean, we're talking about like the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. But what's the band Jane's Addiction the other day got in a big fight with Perry Farrell, right? Went after Dave Navarro. Those guys probably need the money.
Or like Oasis just got back together.
Yeah, I mean, Oasis had like a 4-year run. The Rolling Stones have been relevant for 56 years.
It's 1968, yeah. Or maybe even before that.
No, 65.
$6.5 billion seems to not be true. It seems to be more, 500 mil north of that keeps being referenced in other things. But that's the first Google return is the man worth $6.5 billion, according to Bloomberg Billionaires Index. That's how they ID Mick Jagger. So
maybe they meant streams. 6.5 billion streams.
So here's a line.
Wild horses.
He said his music, he still has his music inventory. He said, my children don't need $500 million to live well. Come on, he joked to the publication. So that's just for his music library. I think they have a lot of money.
Honestly, that did make a headline where Mick Jagger said that he's not leaving everything to his kids. That's a tough break if you're one of the kids.
Well, he said he's giving some to charity. I mean, like, do all those, I don't know, like, is Jeff Bezos giving all his money to his kids?
Does he have kids?
I have no idea.
By the way, bringing this back to sports, if I can speak, Michael Jordan's mansion in Chicago finally sold. $15 million, but it's been on the market forever. It's got the famous gates in front that have 23.
15.
15, one okay. five. Can you imagine, it seems like Michael Jordan is like one of the most private people, right? Like,
sure.
He's like not around. Imagine putting 23 on the gate. Like, who lives here? I don't know. Hard to tell. Chicago suburb with a 23 on the gate.
I don't think his mail gets lost. Right.
15's not bad.
That's a lot for a house, don't you?
I get you like a 4-bedroom in Brooklyn right now. I'm totally not joking.
I know. That's sad.
$15 million is not high end. Bogus and I watch these real estate shows, and that's sort of moderate.
I know that you guys watch these real estate shows because you won't shut up about it.
I tried to give one a shot last week.
Yeah. The sports die-in this year. There's a lot of athletes who are showing up on Selling Sunset.
Anyone we should know about?
Yeah, Johnny Manziel and his ex-wife have this thing going on.
I haven't seen
it yet, but I've been reading a lot about
it. Deshaun Watson was on the episode, too.
Yeah, Deshaun.
And Andrea comes in and was like, did you know Deshaun Watson was on Selling Sunset? I'm like, yeah. And then, like, she kind of looks at me like, why I'm not, like, excited. She's like, wait, is that the massage guy? I'm like, yes. She's like, oh, that's why you didn't react to that. I'm like, yeah, not the greatest time to be talking about Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I mean, you say that it's a shallow endeavor. I have to see what kind of bungalow Kiki Vandeweghe ends up with. Now, they have a lot of sports items. Yeah, basically, there's
too
one
big to live in a bungalow.
There's one in Tampa Bay where I guess every professional athlete has a place in Tampa Bay, and all they're doing is rotating like B-level NBA players.
Did you guys see the trailer for that new NBA documentary? I'm going to use doc in air quotes. It dropped yesterday.
Oh, the LeBron,
like LeBron show?
LeBron,
DeMontis Sabonis, Jason Tatum, Jimmy Butler, and I think that's it.
So it's their version of quarterback or receiver?
Yep.
Okay.
It's just too close. It's just, we needed this a month ago, 2 months ago.
Oh, right, because the season's about to start?
Yeah, the season's about to start. We're now in football. Like, well, I feel like during training camp.
The NBA, like, we have a lot of exposure to LeBron's life. I mean.
Just wait. I don't know, can we get the surface?
What are you talking about? The guy, he's on TV for 4 out of 24 hours a day. He has the shop. He has all this. I just don't know that there's a lot that we don't know about LeBron.
I think a camera crew has been following him since like 2006.
Right, but
all that footage is going somewhere.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know. Like, is there a lot to learn? DeMontis Sabonis, like I watch that. Like, I have no idea what he does on a Tuesday afternoon, but I feel like LeBron, it's like, I don't know, he tweets like 400 times a day. I feel like he's exposed.
I'm curious who's going to steal the show on this one. I'd be shocked if it's Tatum.
I think it's Jimmy.
Jimmy Butler's infinitely
another guy. It's not like Jimmy Butler's not on my TV for half the day. Guy's got 14 different commercials going right now.
But does he really live in a van in the off season? Is that true? And he drives across country? Like, let's see some of that. If Sabonis is the most interesting, that would be an upset.
I would be stunned.
Maybe we get some RVs.
I mean, listen, the wide receiver who was, you know, wasn't necessarily who you thought would be the most interesting. He's, well, maybe, I don't know. Kittle was pretty interesting.
Yeah, Kittle was probably the guy.
I like the scene when Davante Adams is hosting his daughter's birthday party and half the people there have no idea who he is.
Yeah.
I love that.
Like, it's from his daughter's class and some of the parents. And like, oh, you play sports. Which one? It's like, what? Bogish is here with headlines. What's up?
Guys, have you mentioned this Tennessee story yet?
We keep teasing it. Let's do it.
Okay. So we've got Tennessee Athletics announcing yesterday a 10% talent fee being added to all athletics tickets. It's going to make up or fund the revenue sharing system that begins a year from now, where schools can share up to $22 million with the athletes. There's also a 4.5% increase in football tickets as well for Tennessee, but this is certainly not the last school to do something like this, and it just seems a little fishy to me.
Okay, here's my big question about this. So obviously Tennessee's in a good spot now. They had Hendon Hooker, you know, before. Now they've got Nico Iamaleava, and he could be a Heisman. He is a Heisman candidate, and they have him for at least one more year, right? Unless he hits the portal. So you're capitalizing on the excitement around Tennessee. Totally understand that. You're going to charge a 10% talent fee on the tickets plus another 4.5% increase. Once you get to that $22 million threshold, where's the rest of the money go?
Yes, that's where my issue is. This feels like a little like faux inflation. Like, okay, we're going to raise prices to make sure we just meet the arbitrary goal of our profits as opposed to us giving the players money. We're going to put it on the fans, some of whom are probably pissed that athletes are getting money. So now they're going to be further pissed that I got to pay extra money. And the 10% thing is, as far as I read it, is on all Tennessee tickets, not just football. Football is going to get its own ticket increase. But like, if you want to go to Tennessee basketball, your ticket's going to have 10% talent fee surcharge. And they're just, to me, they're putting the onus of this system on the players. That's who you should blame if you're pissed that your ticket's now more expensive.
I'll tell you where the money's going, by the way, because I was Tennessee. I'm thinking, why? Their AD just became the highest paid AD in the SEC at $2.75 million per year. That's where the money's going. It's going to administrators and coaches. And NIL shares a little with the players, but it's still the greatest grift in sports history is all these people who get rich off college football.
Right. And they still want to make $10 million. So they're going to make $10 million by adding on this stuff to your ticket.
Which they have a right to do.
Yeah, that's fine. But it would be, I think what people would feel a little better about is just to say either, you know, like in professional leagues who have unions, you essentially split the revenue 50-50. Sometimes that can be a little weird with playoff games. It's not perfect, but just generally, you're splitting all the shared stuff 50-50. Meanwhile, you always ask, Pearl, where's the Diet Dr. Pepper money? Where's the insurance money? All the commercials that run, who's getting that? And is any of that filtering down to the student-athletes?
Well, I mean, the latest ruling, right, House versus NCAA, there is going to be revenue sharing moving forward, but that is in the infancy stages of litigation. So who knows if that'll even go through. I agree with Bogus. They're trying to keep the old system basically in place, where the old guys make all the money and the players are getting more money, which is great, but I hate that it's going on to the fans. That really annoys me.
Also, and it should annoy everybody as fans, but you should be able to donate what you want to donate to the collective, right? Isn't that right?
Why
if you want to donate to Tennessee football, you should be able to donate whatever you want, not 10% talent fee on your ticket.
Right, but don't forget, this is a little different than you're paying this to Tennessee.
Right.
Because Tennessee money is now getting distributed, which it wasn't. The collective is still going to be its thing on the side where they can say, okay, I can give you $250K to come play quarterback here. Like, so this is a little bit disconnected than a collective.
This 10% surcharge is actually going to a collective. No, it's actually
going to the university.
No, yeah, exactly.
It's going
to
the university.
Because
if Tennessee brings in $50 million a year, this is to oversimplify things, if they bring in $50 million a year in revenue, starting next fall, they can give athletes up to 22 mil of that 50.
Right, right.
So what they're doing is, in my the way I see it is they're tacking on this 10% surcharge to all your tickets. So now they're bringing in the $22 extra million that they're giving to players. So they still end up with $50 million in their bank account. Which, like, it makes sense, but it's like the motivation to me is the issue here.
I also have a practical issue of you pay these fees, and for they're always ridiculous, whether you're buying tickets for anything. But there's an idea that is shipping and handling or whatever. Like, this fee suggests that you're actually getting good talent. Like, what if at a certain point, like, Tennessee's 3-9, and I'm paying a talent fee? Like, why am I paying that fee?
Yeah, you're or not, if the soccer not, team sucks.
Or soccer team or any team. Like, what? Like, at this point, to me, I now need a return on the product to be really good to justify a quote-unquote talent fee that I don't think Tennessee can live up to, quite frankly. But
that model, you could have a terrible team in the pros and the tickets aren't necessarily cheaper. I mean, maybe they are in the resale market, but you might go to see LeBron or the visiting team, but those are still really expensive.
Right, but most of the time, again, I mentioned off air that, like, unless you are a Knicks fan, unfortunately, most of the time, if your team gets worse, your ticket sales go down, or your ticket prices
plateau.
Go down.
They don't go down.
Some will bring them down. With teams that have had terrible seasons have done that. Like it's different. I don't think this is going to happen with this. Like, the fee is the fee. 10% is 10%. Like, what happens again if Tennessee goes 2-10? I'm paying a talent fee for what?
Well, I'll tell you, the athletic director will be gone to Alabama by the time this question comes or whatever. Because the administrators always just get to move on and move up and all that stuff.
Yeah, I don't agree with that, by the way. Like, because in the pros, I mean, the Rams are probably going to be bad this year because of all the injuries. Nobody's getting a dime back because of that. Like, and I don't think those tickets are going down in price. I think they're still going to keep raising. Teams always raise prices. They don't need success necessarily.
Yeah, they don't need success. But again, I think the teams that have had really rough seasons, like, I don't think the Hornets, they definitely didn't raise their prices. It was definitely a cheaper ticket now than it was 10 years ago, probably,
well,
or whatever.
In this city, the Giants and Jets do the personal seat license. So you had to pay $20,000 for the right to buy your season ticket.
Why is the last team, those teams haven't won anything in a long time?
No, in fact, they've been awful. They've been close to irrelevant. Yeah, Nico?
Doesn't the lowering of the price also lower the 10% then? Like, if the ticket's 200, then you're paying 20, but if the ticket's only 20, you're paying $2.
Right. If they keep Josh Heupel, he's a good coach, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it doesn't feel like Tennessee has all the resources to be really good. I don't think that they would have a sustained fall from grace.
I really want Tennessee to be good. Rocky Top is awesome, and Josh Heupel seems like an awesome coach. Yeah. But, like, what we see in college football is, like, things just seem great until they're not. And sometimes there's no rhyme reason as to why a program that was super hot all of a sudden craters. I'm not going to say that there's no chance. Or what if Josh Heupel leaves? That's also a thing. What if he goes to Notre Dame? What if he goes to some other school that pays him more money? Am I still paying this 10% fee, or kids want to go play for the next coach at Tennessee? How do I know that?
Well, yeah, but I mean, look at who's a program fall off. Do you think tickets are cheap to all these other schools that may have an off year? You know, I don't think it really works like that. Also, you have to see the team that's coming in. You know, you're going to want that Alabama ticket. There's only 8 games a year.
Yeah, I'd be curious, for a team like Nebraska, right? In the 90s were amazing and then kind of fell off and they're cycling through coaches. Now they're, you know, got Dylan Raiola and it's, you know, feels like they're back a little bit. But how bleak did it get there?
I know one thing. Again, you could pick any of these Nebraska,
Miami,
like these prominent schools, like try getting a ticket in the 90s to those games and try now. It's a lot different.
Folks, anything else?
On a lighter note from college athletics, Saturday's football schedule includes Marshall visiting Ohio State. Thundering Herd head coach Charles Huff with a unique offer to any Buckeyes that want to come home with his team.
I'd love to have some of those guys from Ohio State, too. So if they want to transfer on down, we've got a Tutor's Biscuit NIL all you can eat. So if any of those guys that run really, really fast at Ohio State like Tudor's Biscuits, I promise you, all you can eat all day.
I like the idea, but I think the execution is a little off. I feel like it's the slow fat guys who are going to want the all-you-can-eat biscuits. Wide receivers are not going to go for that, but you want to improve your offensive and defensive lines, get yourself a biscuit NIL.
Man, I'm just on the website right now for Tudor's Biscuit World. We don't have this on the East Coast, as far as I know, the Big Tater. A bed of potatoes, scrambled eggs, and then whatever toppings you want. It looks like cheese and bacon. That was
okay.
pretty good.
I'm listening.
Yeah, I've got your attention. That's just breakfast.
That's an omelet on a bed of tater tots?
Yep. We got lunch, barbecue sandwich. That looks kind of normal. Let's go to dinner.
Apparently, though, like a West Virginia staple. Like, why do they always get the best stuff outside the Northeast?
Country fried steak.
Yeah, I can do without that.
Oh, I love country fried steak. So good when it's done right.
I think they're doing it right here.
Yeah, I guarantee you they're doing it right.
Perloff hot roast beef sandwich?
Yes, please.
That's up your alley. The Hungry Man's Platter, a bowl of seasoned pinto beans, fried potatoes, coleslaw, chopped onions, and a slice of homemade cornbread. That's just the side.
Oh, okay. That's a side dish. All right, I wouldn't want that as the entree, but on the side, all right.
Mm.
I mean, all you can eat. How much are you getting through on this? I know this is... I'm someone who's about to eat 24 waffles thereabouts.
Yeah, this sounds like it's going to backfire on tutors. I didn't know what they were signing up for. If they're giving out all-you-can-eat NILs to college football players, they're going to be have some empty closets and shelves and cabinets in that restaurant soon.
I love it.
Quickly from baseball last night, the Astros won 4-3 and 10 in San Diego after Jose Altuve got the boot in the ninth inning. He hit a ball off his foot towards third base, so he didn't run, but the umps didn't call it a foul ball, so he was out at first. As part of his argument, he took off his cleat and his sock to show the ump where the ball hit him. That's when he got thrown out. The guy that replaced Altuve scored the tie-breaking run and made the final out of the game. And again, a 4-3 win in 10 in San Diego.
Wait, I have a question for you. Anytime a woman shows their feet in public, you end up on WikiFeet.
What?
Yeah, is that true?
Does Altuve end up on WikiFeet?
You have to answer that question because I can't explain why men are attracted to women's feet. Yeah. I can't imagine any woman is attracted to any man's foot.
Wait, you say it like everybody knows about WikiFeet. This is news to me. There's something called WikiFeet?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not like...
Is this from a Rex Ryan thing?
No. Maggie's all on page one. That's how big it
right,
is.
I'm not eligible because it's too many megabytes to download a picture of my foot.
Is there a site not OnlyFans but OnlyFeet?
Yeah,
Probably.
I was going to say, you have a revenue stream possibility. If size matters...
This is exactly the same conversation we had the last time that you have no recollection of.
About OnlyFeet?
Of her making money selling pictures of her feet.
Well, yeah, WikiFeet, they make money, not you. It's a real racket. Talk about college football's a racket. This is a real racket. Someone else is cashing in on a picture of my feet because I happened to wear sandals one day at Sports Illustrated 100 years ago. Thank you.
Were they made special for you? I don't understand. I've never seen a sandal that big in my life.
It's actually a canoe.
You know how they make special covers. Shoes for Shaq? Like, did you have to call Teva and say, do you make size 9 sandals? They're like, what?
That let me think of it, Teva's. Yeah, it was Birkenstock hooked me up with a special edition. Bigfoot section. Yeah. They're large.
Excuse me, that's why
such good balance.
Can I see the latest you have in Sasquatch sandals, please?
They just call that the Maggie line.
Okay. I like Nico's been on the other side of the glass because you guys made fun of me because I didn't know what moobs were yesterday. Nico also didn't know that. You did not know about WikiFeet either.
I had no clue.
Yeah, Maggie, you said it like, well, you know when you get your photograph, you're immediately on WikiFeet. I'm like, no, I did not know this. Is this a big website? Is this like almost as big as Wikipedia itself?
Yeah. Yes, it's almost as big as Wikipedia.
You're aligning with Nico, who's been alive for the third of the time that the rest of us have. It's okay that he doesn't know things. He hasn't lived anything. You've lived half a life. You should know.
Oh, so I should know. WikiFeet.
I mean, it seems self-explanatory, doesn't it?
It sort of. Do you have to pay to get on there?
No.
I don't know.
Wait, but Matt,
you said anytime you get caught in public. So this is really a site that, like, say someone's at the beach and immediately gets on there.
I mean, it's all different types of things. I'm just wondering if Jose Altuve's feet end up there on WikiFeet because you said that women don't like men's feet, but maybe famous feet they like.
WikiFeet, celebrities, celebrity search.
And there's a whole one for sportscasters.
What? Maggie Gray autofills in the search bar.
it's a special type of kink for people who like my feet.
Oh my God, Maggie, this is ridiculous. You're just sitting like on the dais of you and Billie Jean King, and your feet are on display.
I told you, I wore these sandals one
time. Wait. Maggie's on WikiFeet, and it's on with Billie Jean King? Let me see it.
At some kind of
It was a Fortune Most Powerful Woman
and conference. All we get is one, the tip of your big toe, which is a regular size toe for most people.
That's actually just my toe. It's not the whole foot. I know that could be confusing.
I knew this existed, but this is ridiculous.
We got to scrub that computer.
No, are you kidding me? Maggie, this should be your profile pic.
Me and Oscar Billy De La Hoya and Maggie's left foot.
What?
From SI Now.
I know. I wore sandals a lot that season on SI Now.
I am shocked. No wonder you know so much about it. You're all over it.
Well, again, where's my kickback? Why am I not making money off of someone else, you know?
We are a terrible gender.
Being weird about my feet.
This exists because dudes are sitting in disgusting.
Well, you have to give them. Somebody had good Photoshop skills to actually get your feet in the frame.
Hire that man. No.
You got 4 out of 5 stars, Maggie.
I got 4 out of 5 stars?
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey.
Did somebody alter them to make them smaller?
Shoe size 10.5. It has your birthday on here too.
The right one?
May 15th?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The year?
83?
Yep.
This is creepy.
Uh-oh.
Pay for social. No thanks.
No, pay. Maybe I'll get a check, a residual from WikiFeet. All right, we got to take a quick break. That went off the rails. Lots more to do in just...
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just a moment.
And Joker, instead of going around him, he's just banging and banging and banging. When a guy's banging you, you spin off of him. Those are the worst defenders to play against, actually, because if you can feel their body, come on.
18 points for Joker, only Nugget in double figures.
That's amazing. Our great debate today is the funniest athletes of all time, and yours was Charles Barkley, and he delivered with that clip.
I kind of, you guys wouldn't let me, but you kind of got to throw Shaq in there, too, because when the two of them get going, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, the funniest clip with Shaq, in my opinion, was one that I don't think was staged, when, you know how Kenny races to the wall, and they try to race him, and Shaq trips over something, and he loses a shoe.
Oh my God.
It's a total yard sale. Like, how do his shoes come off? Hilarious. Speaking of feet, is a transition I never thought I would make.
Wow.
By the way, I'm catching up on you on that poll fast.
Oh, on the funniest athlete?
Yeah.
Please go to...
You soiled it with your Philadelphia people.
Get out of here. Charles Barkley is beloved.
Of course he is. But Bob Uecker is the correct answer for this great debate. He was winning until you sicked your Philadelphia army on it.
I started this whole thing by saying humor is subjective. It's not scientific. The correct answer. Correct. That's the most unfunny thing to say about the funniest athlete.
It's just facts, Bob Uecker.
We got a comment by somebody. It was like, why would we say Margaret Irvin? And then I was like, oh, it's an Eagles fan, of course. Because Perloff got his Philly people involved.
And
how's Bogus Michael Irvin doing in the poll?
Paid Manning.
He's like, going to be -5% by the time the show's over because all the Eagles fans now are joining in.
Mm. Two-time Tony was also reminding us that Shaq crashing into the Christmas tree was also hilarious. Same kind of thing.
Yep.
Big man goes down. Well, we got into a discussion about pictures of my feet.
Of course.
My large feet are on the internet. Charles is in Maine has got a story about this. Not my feet, but someone else's. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning. You already took me on once today, so I apologize for calling back. But, and I called a couple weeks ago about the movie Baghead, and you were wondering who my in-laws are. I'm Mark Duplass's brother-in-law.
Yes.
And his wife, Katie, has had this happen to her. And we had a family gathering a couple of months ago where she was describing how people will... And Katie, she was in the league. She was Jenny in the league, so she's a bit of a celebrity herself. But and I 1,000% Perloff watched the league back in the day, and I'd eat that Jello with tuna in it if he didn't.
But I watched the league. We all love the league.
Well, yeah. Well, she was Jenny in that, but she was talking about how they will hide out and try and take pictures of her feet. And we all looked at a family dinner, like the cast of SNL at the end of that Sinkhole skit with Margot Robbie and where they're talking and then Mikey Day. Anyway, I couldn't resist calling back. That's true. It's a thing, even for celebrities who are not, or whatever would be known as A-list.
Hey, Charles, Katie is, the next time you talk to your brother-in-law, Mark Duplass, tell him big fan of Togetherness, and also it was called Room Something. It was a show on HBO.
Oh, yeah, the Duplass Brothers, yeah.
All right, well, hang on one second, please, and I apologize for being rude and interrupting you. Room 104 is what it was called.
Yes.
And I need to, since you are giving me the time to speak about this on the air, my daughter wrote and directed an episode for that in season 2 called Josie's Room. Mm. Watch it. It's beautiful.
Got it.
You're a Perla. You're a Dartmouth guy. I'm a Dartmouth guy. She's a Dartmouth girl.
Nice.
She wrote this story called Josie's Room in season 2, or might have been season 3, actually. I forget when it was. It's watch it.
Yeah, we'll check it out.
Do. It's awesome.
Charles,
thank you for giving me the platform to say that. My daughter's trying to kick that door in out there, and that, Mark gave her a platform in Room 104. Thank you for your time, guys. Have a great day.
Uncle be Mark Duplass should help you get your foot in the door, hopefully.
That plug right there will probably change her career trajectory.
Yeah, get that to Scorsese.
She's obviously incredibly talented. You ever see the one where him and Ray Romano are best friends and he dies of stomach cancer? Mark Duplass, it is incredibly powerful performance by him. Not watch it because you will cry.
Is that Room 104? One of the
episodes? It's not Room 104. Oh. It's a follow. It is an incredible, not popular movie. He's an incredible writer. Him and his brother are awesome.
There we go. I think that's a fitting way to end this random show that we just did.
I am going off to search WikiFeed right now.
Good luck with all that. EJ Stewart, thank you. Nico Scarlatos, thank you. To Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan. Weedos!